Joining us this morning is Professor Susan Boyston. She's a political analyst. She's author of A Precarious Power. We wanted to get her view on the president's testimony over the last week. A very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Things are fine. Thank you very much.
So this is what we've been debating over the last few days. The fact that he went and he spent hours upon hours testifying, obviously in contrast to the last president who wouldn't do anything like that, has got to be seen as a good thing. But then there's the question about the actual content. Could he have been that ignorant? My listeners are very, very insistent that he had to have known what was going on. What is your thought?
Yes, certainly. First, to touch on your first point, it is a rare moment indeed, also in South Africa's democracy, for a head of state and government to expose himself on national television, a major commission, to be prepared to taken to task and to be questioned about operations. And wonderful as that may be, there are automatically important constraints. There are obviously things that cannot just be spilled out in public. And yet, if a person puts himself in this case, in this position, we do expect more. And that was certainly my impression of President Ramaphosa's presentation. He took great pains to make sure that his choice of fighting from within the ring, as he puts it, was the right choice, as opposed to what he contrasted it with, silence, acquiescence, etc. And yet, it was very, very opaque in his evidence. When exactly was in what territory? And he was pushed to give examples of what he did to fight from within. And he struggled to put together a list of more than four or five specific points. And if one takes careful note of the timelines, of when things were out in public, and when what he said he knew about at what stage and then challenged, there are serious questions that remain there, very serious ones. The rest of the country was already up in arms when the ANC, the top six, the cabinet, Deputy President Ramaphosa then started taking notes and made little noises. Mm. So it's a serious sense of discomfort that remains, that he did know more, that he did not do enough when he could have done more, or, as the debate also turned around a point in the Sunday Commission, were they scared of, and Ramaphosa said, they could lose their jobs had they spoken, and he could have lost his job as Deputy President, at least of the country, had he spoken out. And yet, the question remains, would this nasty, evil process not have been stopped much earlier had a person like the Deputy President of the country at that point resigned?
What's interesting to me is a comment not from yesterday but the day before, where he spoke about the firing of Nhlanhla Nene and obviously how he did stand up to that. But what fascinated me was that he did so by communicating, I can't recall who it was through, to the president. All of that showed me that there wasn't a particularly close or comfortable relationship that he had with former President Jacob Zuma. There wasn't a natural relationship that he could walk into a room and say, you know, what on earth do you think you're doing? Have you lost your mind? It went through a person to a person to a person. Now, if that is indeed the case, it does give some credibility to what he's saying, in that he was a little bit outside of that inner circle. What's your thoughts on that?
Yes. No doubt, Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa was an outsider. He was there being tolerated by the Zumas. Remember in 2012, an ANC conference in Mangaung, he came in as the last minute as a type of running mate to Jacob Zuma. And he was never an insider there. Also, we know from the little bit we know about the operation of the deputy presidency of the country, those persons are not at the heart of power. And this definitely was the case of Cyril Ramaphosa. And besides, the operations, the capture and corruption operations of the Zumas around President Jacob Zuma at that stage were not part of the mainstream of government business. That is this as a subaltern, supplementary state operations configuration that was around the President and were not part of the official part of government business that the deputy president would have had any part of. But there was never generally a warm relation at all between Zuma and Ramaphosa's president and deputy president.
Yeah, it's the other problem, and one of our listeners pointed that out earlier this morning, is that's all very well. But then when he became president, that's when we should have seen decisive action, and we haven't seen that. It's been a very slow process. And yes, if we look back at the recapture of the various institutions, and the fact that we're even having these conversations is some progress, but we didn't see decisive and clear action at all from the president.
Yes, indeed. And it is 3.5 years in power now for Cyril Ramaphosa, where he speaks to the times and the nature of ANC, the divided nature of ANC, and how fragile everybody's positions are, even the ones who are in power, even if Ramaphosa at this stage enjoys this fairly solid majority in the National Executive Committee of the ANC. But it remains fragile, and they are always these possibilities that others have information that on their colleagues who could that could embarrass them. They always trade very, very carefully on thin ice all the time. And this also emerged yesterday through the nature of information on the state security apparatuses and the former state security agency and the possibility that a large troop of armed intelligence, so-called intelligence operatives that were mobilized against Jacob Zuma when he was president have still not demobilized. The arms have not been recalled, but the names may be known. And it's this kind of potential force of destabilization of the Ramaphosa government that hovers out there, and should anybody in that camp be antagonized, affronted, arrested, prosecuted, etc., there are possibilities of South Africa seeing the kind of trouble we saw in the month of July around Jacob Zuma. And this really reminds us continuously as to how fragile the current, even Ramaphosa-dominated balance of power actually is.
I see that My Broadband this morning reporting a new plan to bring South Africa to its knees on Monday the 23rd of August. Now, they don't give a lot of information around this. They quote Network 24. They allude to all sorts of things and the fact that the police are going to be on high alert. But this is exactly the problem, because that we could even see an article like this, it proves just how nervous everybody is around this. We don't feel a level of confidence.
It's very difficult to build confidence and for a government to act with confidence if this is a continuous threat that hovers out there. And we listened to Ramaphosa yesterday also with his specific view to getting definitive ideas as to how things can move forward. Zondo really emphasized the point that of what can be done to ensure this doesn't replicate itself in future. And Ramaphosa probably did what he could do, gave sensible answers. But when he talked here in this context about renewal, retraining, professionalization of the civil service, new cabinet processes, different ways of handling procurement, these are broad general processes, in most cases longer-term prospects that do not change the balances state-wise, general operation-wise, or security-wise in the immediate term.